Hey, you guys. We got Mark here.
Hello, hello.
We got Eric here.
Hello.
And we got me, Nikki, also here.
Good to see you.
Yeah. And so today, I just wanted to start the podcast off real quick with asking you guys a question. And that question is, whenever you think of PlayStation, what's like the first memory or like the first thing that pops into your head?
So for me, our first PlayStation was the PS2. Mm. And I remember we had a racing game called Gran Turismo 3. And I was blown away by it. I'm like, the graphics can't possibly get any better than this. This is amazing. We had the game. We were playing it. It was great. But what we didn't have was a memory card to save the game. So no. We kept the game on for probably about 2 weeks. And like, this was like right around the release of the PS2. And for whatever reason, there was like a shortage of memory cards, so you couldn't really find them in the stores that easy.
I remember that memory card shortage happening. Yeah.
So we just like kept Gran Turismo 3 running, so we couldn't play other games or anything. We just like we didn't want to lose all our progress.
Oh my god, that would have been so stressful. I would have been like afraid that I was accidentally going to turn it off or something.
What if the power goes out and you lose your like 3 weeks of saves?
Oh, you're like, no. Yeah. It's like 90s problems, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Things you don't really have to worry about now.
So what's the memory for you, Mark?
Well, I did have PS2 memory cards because I also had a PS1.
Oh.
At the time, I started with a little baby PS1 with a little screen on it. And RPGs were probably my first one. So Final Fantasy, Legend of Legaia. That's a deep cut for anybody, if anybody knows that.
Legend of Legaia?
Yeah. Doesn't hold up, but it has like a fighting game-based battle system.
Yeah.
But I've always wanted to go back and try it.
You should do it.
Yeah. Old PS1 RPGs are for another episode, but PS2, I'm thinking like Ratchet and Clank, Jack and Daxter, those old like Sony platformers from that generation really holds up for me.
We didn't have a PlayStation 1, but we did get a PlayStation 2, I think, anyways. And my little sister, she was obsessed with DDR. And do you remember those mats that you could get
Yes.
so you could play at home? Yeah, we had two of those and we would play, and like that was always really fun.
My friend took the little plastic mat and mounted it onto like plywood and mm-hmm. made like a real arcade mat in his house.
Oh,
so
nice.
He could actually play it instead of it just playing like
yeah because I remember it was like so soft, and it didn't feel the same, so that's super smart.
I had one of the track pads for the original NES. Do you remember those?
No.
It came with a game called Track and Field. I remember, like, you get on your hands and you'd hit the like pad buttons instead of like trying to run on it.
Because your feet wouldn't work.
Yeah, because I don't think I've ever heard of this. Yeah, it was pretty funny.
You know what? We can't say that video games have not been innovative throughout the years. That's for sure. They're always trying something fun.
That's the best part.
All right. Well, welcome to Press Any Button. And today we're talking about Astrobot.
Yeah, Astrobot.
Astrobot is a 2024 platform game developed by Team Asobi and published by Sony Interactive Entertainment for PlayStation 5 to coincide with the PlayStation's 30th anniversary. And it's also got a bunch of Game of the Year awards and stuff like that. It was
racking up the wins.
Yeah, it was a hot ticket.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember when this came out just on social media, they spent a lot on marketing, clearly. But other than that, just everyone was talking about it. Everyone was streaming it and saying how cool it was. And I was like, I don't really know what this is. And then, you picked it, and I was like, okay, cool. Now I can actually know what this game is all about. And I was like wanting to get it before, but I think maybe I looked it up and it was like $60 or something. And I was like, yeah, I'll wait for it to go on sale because
I definitely got it on launch day because I got a little cute little Astrobot doll with it.
Oh, nice.
Oh, yeah. And you brought it. He brought him here. He's very cute.
We'll post a picture of it.
Yeah.
We'll
get a picture together with it. Nice.
But yeah, I totally didn't realize that Astro's Playroom came with our PlayStation 5. So now I'm like stoked because I have a whole new game I can go play.
Yeah.
Basically.
This is not his first game at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or the studio's first game.
Awesome. Cool. Well, do we want to get into the history?
Yes. Speaking speaking of not being their first game. So Team Asobi was originally formed internally with Japan Studio in 2012. And Japan Studio is the legendary internal studio that has done stuff like Shadow of the Colossus.
Oh, nice.
Eco, Gravity Rush, some of those like double A, like weirdo indie games from like the PS2, PS3 era. Asobi is a play on Asobu, which means play in Japanese. And the team is like an international team that's based in Japan.
Oh, cool.
They mostly work on like technical exploration games with PlayStation hardware. Their first game was like an augmented reality thing that had to do with like the DualShock called The Playroom in 2013. This was on my PS4 when I bought it. I never actually opened it. I don't know what it does.
Oh, I think I remember that. I remember seeing it and being like, okay, I don't know what this is. I'm not gonna open it.
To this day, I still have never opened it. But this team, that was their first game.
And now I'm like, well, you have Astro's Playroom. So is Playroom, does it have anything to do with that?
It was kind of a callback to that.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So then they went on to work on PlayStation VR headsets, and Astrobot Rescue Mission was their first game for that platform, and that's where Astrobot kind of came from.
So the first game was a VR game?
Was a VR game, cool. Yeah, and that's still there. I think they might have dropped it on PS Plus at some point. I have it in my library, but I have no way to play it. But it's kind of similar where you're just like kind of going around different worlds and kind of exploring it as Astrobot, but you're kind of in the mindset of the guy helping him like go through the world. Hmm. So then Asobi became a dedicated first-party studio in 2020 when Japan Studio closed because of bad leadership.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no.
No.
And they started working on Astro's Playroom, which launched with the PS5 in 2020 as a pack-in title, kind of show off the capabilities of the DualSense.
Mm-hmm.
So all those different like gyros and vibrations and stuff, that was really designed to show off all the different functions of the controller.
Makes sense, because they do have you doing everything.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, I did not even know... Like, you could blow on the controller, and that would... It would like know that you're blowing on it. Like, that is kind of crazy.
It's giving Nintendo DS with that.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, I remember that. It was always kind of gimmicky.
Yeah. Yeah. In Astro's Playroom, you were just rescuing little generic bot friends as you went through the levels that were based on, like, the cooling system and the SSD, just, like, showing off different parts of the system. So you're starting to see where pieces of Astrobot are coming from. And instead of unlocking little characters, you unlocked different PlayStation hardware.
Oh, nice.
So you would find little puzzle pieces, and then you'd go back to your home base, and you'd go downstairs, and there would be like a PSP, or like a PlayStation 2, or like an iToy, or just random obscure PS history things.
Oh, nice.
So as you like unlock it, you kind of get the history of Sony hardware, and then they flipped it with their full game Astrobot that we are talking about today.
Cool.
And so they kind of blew that up as like a proof of concept into a full-fledged platformer.
Awesome. Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wonder how like hard it is to get your game to come with a system. Because that has got to be, I mean, that's amazing.
It probably helps when you're an internal studio. You just go up a couple levels with
a CEO.
Good
point, yeah. Good point. I'm like, that's got to be like an instant, just like, I don't know, success. Because like everyone already has your game. Like, you don't really have to do much.
Yeah, true.
Especially with such a new controller with so many different features. They're like, how are we supposed to show this off? So
yeah.
You've got like the rockets and the rain and all that. Mm-hmm. Like all that kind of started in Playroom.
It's crazy though, because like other than this game, a lot of other games don't really use the controllers, like all the functions that they can do. So maybe, I don't know. Maybe
other developers,
some of them
please
little,
listen up.
Yeah.
Use the controller more.
I mean... We'll get into some of that later, but yeah.
But it's very much a Nintendo problem where they pack all these things into the hardware and then no one ever uses any of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can think of like at least one other game that used the controller speakers, like Evil Within 2.
Oh, well, yeah.
I remember that creepy lady coming through, her voice coming through the controller.
That was really creepy.
Like people use the triggers and the speaker, but they don't really use like the range of
vibrations. Yeah.
Like if you played Horizon, the PS5 one, it had like the resistance when you were shooting the bow.
Mm, yeah, I thought that was a cool feature.
I did like that too. Yeah, and a lot of games don't use the
gyro.
When you tilt, when you tilt it back and forth, they don't really use that either.
Yeah.
They're a pretty new studio, so there's not a lot of history to them. The history really comes from the concept of the game and what you're finding, which we can talk about.
And this came out November of 2024,
of last year,
right?
Yes.
Yeah, cool. Well, that's really interesting. I'm excited to talk about the game. There's a lot to talk about. A
lot of little Easter eggs fun little things.
Did you happen to do any fun facts?
I did. Most of them are kind of about the game themselves.
Okay.
The different little like Easter eggs that are found throughout the game. So we can kind of drop those in as we talk about it more.
Because I had a few prepared just in case you didn't have any. And so I'll go ahead with one of them now. So just we can have one fun fact to start with. But this game has sold over 1.5 million copies.
Oh, wow.
Hasn't even been a year yet. And that was like a somewhat old statistic, like from January or something. So I know it's got to be more now.
It's the Game Awards effect, baby.
Yeah.
Definitely a huge game, a huge success. I saw that it won a bunch of awards at like the Game Award. Mm-hmm. I forget what it's called.
It's the Game Awards.
Yeah, that's called the Game Awards. Okay. Wow, that's easy.
The funny thing is, like, earlier last year, Sony was like, we don't really have anything coming out. Like, I don't know. We got a couple little things. And then Astrobot comes out and just, like, blows their sales numbers out of the water.
I know. It's like, were they trying to keep it a secret? Or maybe they just didn't know it was going to be so popular, but I kind of doubt that.
They put all their money into Concord and then canceled that 2 weeks later.
Dang.
Oh, man. Yeah, Concord was a huge failure.
Oh, I almost
It was kind of like supposed to be Overwatch clone or what do they call it? Hero shooters?
Yeah.
Oh.
Kind of like Marvel Rivals and...
And like literally nobody played it, so they just killed it right away.
Yeah, it's kind of disappointing.
That's crazy.
Because they, I think they were starting to try to like introduce a bunch of cool lore for it and stuff. But yeah, I never even really heard about it before it got canceled. So
they didn't even give people a chance.
I think they were also trying to charge like $60 for it, weren't
they? Yeah.
Yeah. Which, I mean, when you have a bunch of free-to-play ones, that's going to be a tough sell.
Mm. So do you want to do a little brief story?
Yeah, there is a story to this game.
Not a lot of story.
There's enough.
I didn't really put a spoiler...
It's enough to be there, yeah, for sure.
I didn't really put a spoiler warning on all this because the story is not really like... I don't know if you can spoil it.
I mean, you pretty much get the story right from the beginning. You know what you're doing.
Yeah. So the basic story is, you know, Astrobot is minding his own business and his ship that inconspicuously resembles a PS5 when a green alien named Space Bully Nebulax attacks him and rips out his ship's CPU.
Rude.
I should add that despite him being very green, Nebulax is probably in no way a reference to Microsoft or Xbox. Did you get that at all? Did you think?
No, I did not think about that.
I don't think it was intentional.
I saw the very green color. Uh-huh. I'm like, this feels like a subtle dig at Microsoft.
And his ship like has a little X on it.
Oh, that is kind of funny. I did not put that together because usually aliens are green, so I just didn't think about it. But. Yeah.
Well, maybe. Yeah, I don't know. So Astro and his ship crash land into the desert planet while his crew and mothership core systems are scattered across the universe. And that's basically the premise of the game is like finding the pieces of his ship and all the other Astrobots.
Yeah. Basically, your PlayStation fell apart and now you have to put it back together.
All right. So yeah, you go galaxy to galaxy collecting the parts on your PS5 controller ship. And then you basically, at the end of the game, you gather your play squadron to fight Nebulax, which is the play squadron is just all on the old Sony
all
hardware.
All the consoles that are also ships that fly through space.
All the different PlayStations that like double as ships.
Yeah. I thought that part was cool.
So Astro defeats Nebulax, but ends up being blown up with him, thus ending the game on a sad note where Astrobot is dead.
I'm not going to lie.
Nothing happens after that.
I was like shocked for a second when that happened. I was like, no, I just self-sacrificed.
I thought they were going to hold on to that for about 15 seconds. And I was like, how dare they?
There's a twist where Astrobot is in fact not dead. They replace his arms. They replace his arms and legs. And that's fixes
all
his him.
Little buddies take their parts off when they put him back together.
I
and
know.
It's so cute.
And they just throw it. It's so cute. That's the beauty of being a bot. You never have to die, really, as long as there's parts. Right?
I guess as long as the important pieces don't get destroyed.
Yeah, exactly.
And don't forget the credits where you jump through and you like beat up the names of all the people who worked on the game.
Yeah, I thought the credits were super cool, like unique the way they did that. I was like, oh, this is like, oh, actually, you read these credits. It's like, it's not just a scrolling thing.
The credits were actually pretty neat because, they incorporated all the different weapons and stuff into that, or all the different power-ups, and not necessarily just weapons, mm-hmm. but, like, just how you're interacting and running that last credit stage is pretty fun.
Mm-hmm. So do we want to get into what we like about the game?
Let's do it.
Yeah. Cool.
Wait, first, Mark, we forgot to ask you why you picked this game. Other than clearly, like, think it's fun, but...
It's so much fun. As someone who's had almost every PlayStation, like, the sense of nostalgia and the history there, I love platformers. But I wasn't actually a Mario kid, I will say. I was a Sonic kid.
Oh.
So, like, having some type of, like, cool platformer without being, like, basic Mario is always fun to me. Plus, I had a lot of fun with Playroom. So I wanted to see what they would do with the full game. And I just really loved it. It was just super creative. There's lots of different elements to it. It's just the level of polish and creativity and just like fun on top of the nostalgia element just makes it just like such a cool experience.
Such a fun, it's a super fun game. You said that this was your personal game of the year for last year also.
Yes,
so you agree with the awards that were given out.
For the first time, I agree with the game awards.
For the first time?
Yes.
Nice.
So happy with that one.
Cool. Yeah, so I'm excited to talk about what all we like about the game. One of the things that we kind of already mentioned and talked about is just how creative and fun this game is. Like, a game should be fun, first and foremost, you know?
If it's not fun, what are we doing here?
Exactly. And I think, this is really creative with all the power-ups, and I like how they added the VIP bots and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Just overall, super, super fun. And I know you said you're not a Mario kid. I don't know if you've played any of the new Mario games that came out lately.
I love the Switch Marios, will say. I just haven't played the classic
ones.
But
this very much reminds me of Mario Wonder, because you have, like, power-ups, and you have these things that kind of change your form and, like, stuff like that. So I think they did a really good job of kind of doing a PlayStation version of, like, a Nintendo game.
And I think that's what I loved about Wonder, is it took twists on things, and this wasn't, afraid to try something different. You know, it's not just the same thing over and over. It kind of gave me Ratchet and Clank vibes. I don't know if you ever played that one.
I have not, actually.
That's on my list, because everyone says it's really fun.
That was on my list for this episode.
Oh, nice.
But we can...
Yeah.
It's hard to find the old games. To be accessible, but having to switch out different weapons on there kind of gave me the different power-up vibes here.
Yeah.
So just trying different things, like, and the way that the different power-ups, like, showcase themselves, like, the first time you are the mouse and you shrink down and you can, like, grow and shrink as needed, it was just like, oh my god, this is crazy. And the way it worked around the world, the scale there was just super cool.
Yeah, and it makes you think about stuff in a different way, because you're like, once you're tiny, you're like, oh, now I have to look for little doors that I might be able to go through, or, you know, whatever. Whereas, like, when you're big, you're obviously not looking at for that stuff.
I think that was the first aha moment for me, for someone who had played Playroom and it had some of these little power-ups, like, in my head. I was like, okay, yeah, we're doing the punching, we're doing the flying, whatever. But then you do something like that, or you do the sponge or the duck, you're like, okay, now we're really playing with some different, you know, mindsets here.
I thought the sponge was actually, even though it's only one stage, I think, that has the sponge, it was one of my favorite ones, just from a creativity aspect of, like, okay, yeah, you're big, you're small, you have, like, basically one major attack you do, and then you're small again. So it just, like, changed the way you kind of thought about how to play.
Yeah, they bring it back for the Christmas level for, like, a little bit. But one of my favorite things about the sponge thing, too, is when you're big, you could just, like, walk around and, like, crash everything and knock everything down. And I felt like, you remember Gumby?
Yeah.
Like, that's what I felt like, just, like... just going around destroying everything. That was half the fun. You don't have to destroy everything, but, you know, did I? Yes, I did. I did walk into everything, knock it over.
And he destroys stuff too. I don't know if you guys have played around with the idle animations. That was one of my little, like, super cool things, super cool fun facts. But if every power up you have, if you leave him be, will have a different animation. And when you're the sponge, he'll get in a little, like, bath and just chill.
Oh, that's so funny.
So he's in the big form and he gets in the bath and just, like, die. It crushes it because he's too big.
That's so funny. I noticed that for just the regular Astro Bot, if you are too idle, he'll get out a PlayStation controller and it looks like he's playing a PlayStation game.
Yes. He's got, like, little PSPs or a PS1.
It's so cute.
Yeah.
I guess we're talking about all the power-ups now. Clearly, we all like those. But I wanted to ask, so Eric, you liked the sponge the best. That was your favorite one?
Yeah. That and the time stop one I thought was super creative, where the levels are kind of designed around these super fast elements that you kind of need to slow down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What about you, Mark? Which ones were your favorites?
Time stop, sponge, and the mouse were probably my three favorites.
Yeah. I have, like, a thing with mice and rats. I do not like them, okay? Like, I have a phobia of them. And without fail, every single video game has rats in it.
Do not play a Plague Tale.
Literally, okay, like if I'm playing a horror game, I get it. Like, yeah, there's going to be creepy rats. But freaking this game where it's like Astrobot, it's like I wasn't expecting to see rats, and then there they are. I mean, they're not scary, but still, I'm like, why do rats have to be in every single video game? Maybe I should start a blog where I just find games that don't have rats in them.
Weren't these mice? Weren't there with these like cute rats?
I guess.
They were cute. Yeah, very cute rats.
But then, yeah, it was funny though, because when I started that level with the rat and Eric had already played it, he knew what was coming. And I'm like, so I'm playing and I'm like, rats in this game too, and he's just like giggling because he knows I'm not only gonna see rats, but I'm gonna have to be a rat. So yeah, I was like, great. I really like the Time Stop one, and I thought the monkey, like, I thought it was kind of cool, like having to do the controls with the monkeys.
That is my least favorite power up in both games, because I'm really bad at shifting the controller to do this.
I am pretty bad at it, but yeah. I thought it was fun. Like, it made me feel like a kid when you would play like Nintendo or whatever, and you want your character to go right, or you want them to jump really high, yeah. And then you do that with your controller, like that's actually gonna help. But I felt like with that, I was definitely like just going.
Did
crazy.
You try the monkey speedrun level?
Oh god,
yeah,
that one was insane.
Yeah, oh. I'm not good at speed, like I'm not good at perfection platforming, and that's what I call those levels, perfection mm-hmm. platform. I just invented yeah. that term, by the way. So.
I could never get the right rhythm for using the monkey to climb.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
You watch some stuff on YouTube, people go crazy with that thing. Like, they can just the controller, and they're up in 5 seconds.
Oh, no, man. I need to watch, because, yeah, I would be like, oh, missed it. Oh, I still thought it was fun, though. I liked the where you could pick up the boulders or the rocks or whatever and throw them.
Yeah, that was fun.
Oh, I love the punchy one too, just because it's like so satisfying when you're clicking the triggers and you're just like mm-hmm. bam, bam, bam.
Yeah.
Punching
yeah.
down those metal walls.
Yes. Or doing the swingy thing.
Yeah.
Like around the sticky poles.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That was cool.
Mm-hmm. What's something you like, Eric?
So, yeah, just one of the highest compliments that you can give a game is that it reminds me of a Mario game. Very much so. And I think we already talked about, you guys got a little bit of Mario Wonder. Mm-hmm. I definitely got some Mario Odyssey from it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
A little bit of Galaxy there.
Yeah, I was like, someone online was saying Galaxy that I was talking to.
But yeah, you know, Mario, you think of a Mario game, fluid controls, great level designs, a smooth difficulty progression. Mm-hmm. Like that's, Astrobot has all those with flying colors.
It's very much like peak platformer, like checking off the boxes of what makes a good platform game there.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, we've been talking about the gameplay, but can we talk about the graphics? It's just such a beautiful game.
Yeah.
Takes power, you know, the power of the PS5 to the next level. You've got all the little different little elements, whether it's like little balls or coins or little particles flying through the air. And every scene is like loaded with little details, like mm-hmm. little animations and details. You can like, in the first level, you can like chill with the penguin next to the pool or ride the turtle.
Yeah.
And then just the way the physics go. It's just such an impressively game technically.
Yeah, yeah, it looks amazing.
The physics, yeah, it's really, really impressive, especially when you have like, I don't know, just a lot of like a million of these like freaking coins falling on a platform or something, and you can go and wade through it and like splash them off and stuff. And it's just really technically impressive.
Like the bones in the Uncharted level. We'll get to the secret levels next soon.
Oh, yeah.
And just like, there was even parts where they would have like a puddle of water or something. And I'm like, man, I want to play in this puddle of water. Like it just, the way it would sound, the way it would look, I'm like, perfect. I loved all the bright colors. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did you know the raindrops are in the PlayStation shapes? If you watch them carefully, when they fall on the ground, it's circle, triangle, square, X.
I need to.
Really?
I found that out in a fun facts video.
Yeah, I didn't notice that.
See, so now we've got like replayability with the game too, because now I need to go back and play it so I can look at all these little details that I didn't get to before because I was freaking out.
Yeah, this game has great replayability. I mean, the secrets, the stages, all that stuff.
And they tell you where how many secrets are in a level, so you don't have to just figure it out. Like, you know, oh, that there's awesome. Three puzzle pieces. Oh, there's five bots in here. Mm-hmm. So it makes it more accessible, but also it triggers my OCD where I want to complete everything. I'm like, no, I missed one guy. I have to go back. Yeah. And it's between where I found this guy and that guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I like that. I like being able to collect everything. I like the little bird of shame you could get. After you beat a level, you could go
bird
back.
Bird of shame. I never buy the bird of shame.
And the bird will help you help point out where it won't tell you exactly how to get the secret item.
Which I like.
It will tell you basically where it's at.
I did not look at that as the bird of shame. I literally, the second time I played a level, I was like, sweet, I get the bird. Let's do this. But then after I did a few, I'm like, I wonder if other people don't get the bird immediately and they try to do this all on their own, huh?
Yeah, usually I try to get as much as I could the first time I went through a level. Mm. There was one level, though, in particular where I found like a warp zone, like right at the beginning of the level. And I went to the warp zone or whatever, so it counted as beating the level, so the bird was there. Mm-hmm. So I basically got to go back and play it for
and
the first time with
the level.
Yeah, with the bird of shame.
Bird of shame.
And structurally, what we didn't talk about, so every little galaxy has X amount of levels. Certain mm-hmm. ones are like story-based before you go to the boss, and then you can find little secret ones on the side. But then at the end of every galaxy, we have the special levels. Mm-hmm. Do we want to talk about those?
Yeah, the special levels are so good.
And these are basically where you get like the VIP, most of the VIP bots, right? Like Kratos and all that.
Level is structured around an old historical PlayStation game, and it plays like that game too. So
I
it takes the
it.
Astrobot mechanics a little twist.
Yeah. So what do we have? I know we have Horizon. I know we have God of War.
We have Ape
Uncharted.
Escape is the first one.
Oh, Ape Escape.
So PS1, and then you go God of War, which started at PS2.
Oh,
then Uncharted,
I see what they're doing.
Which started at PS3.
Oh, nice.
Loco Roco from the PSP.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I never played Loco Roco. I didn't know what that one was.
The blobs, you know, that one.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Then you go like Horizon.
Yeah, and that's PS4.
That would have been PS4. You know, I kind of wish there was a Tomb Raider one.
Yeah.
But then it's
not
like
first
Uncharted.
Party, so they probably had rights issues.
Probably,
I mean, there was a Lara Croft in the game, if you found her.
I don't know if I found her or not.
Some of those, I wasn't sure, like, if they were... It was kind of cool that they were a little bit vague on the character, because then it was like a puzzle. Okay, who is this character? And you're trying to read the description and figure it out.
The writing of the descriptions was really good, too.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But I also don't know if that was done for copyright reasons, where it's like, okay, maybe we don't have the legal right to put this character in here, so we'll just kind of put something that sounds a little bit more generic.
I mean, that's a pretty good way to get around it, I think.
Yeah.
They probably had the rights to put the character in, but maybe not name them if it's like a copyrighted name. Mm.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the legal issues are around that.
So what do you call those worlds, like the Horizon level? Or is that just a level?
It's just like a bonus level, I feel like. Because after you beat the boss, then you go to the VIP bonus
true.
Level.
Yeah.
Those
are like... Not only do you get the VIP bot there, which is cool, but it's kind of like those Lego games where they take a game that already exists and are like, let's make it Lego themed or Lego like artwork and stuff. And it was kind of like they did that. Let's take this game and make it Astrobotified or whatever.
Yeah.
And so it was like, here's God of War, but it's really cute. And not a lot of like scary deaths or anything, you know? I thought those are some of the funnest
but they
levels.
Have little like relevant Easter eggs, like you find the ravens in the God of War level, or you find the little puzzle pieces in the Uncharted level.
Yeah. I remember playing the God of War one, and I was like, oh, I wonder if they're gonna put a chest in here, because you have to have a chest if you're doing God of War. And of course they had it like right after I thought that there was a chest. I was like, oh, I'm so smart. So out of those levels, which ones did you like the most?
I think the God of War, Uncharted, and Horizon Zero Dawn levels are my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
Especially the God of War one. I think that was like my favorite out of all of them. It was just like so silly to see like Astrobot Kratos.
Yeah.
There's just something about swinging an axe. Yeah. That's great.
Mm-hmm.
And I always loved that axe mechanic from the God of War games, where you can throw your axe and have it come back to you and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And it adds as a like way of doing combat and solving puzzles, because you'll have a bunch of puzzles that involve your axe and stuff like that. I always loved that aspect.
I probably liked the Horizon level and the Ape Escape level, actually.
Nice.
I hadn't played an Ape Escape game since I rented it from Blockbuster for like a weekend way back in the day. So it was fun to kind of get that little nostalgia boost.
Yeah, I never played any of the Ape Escape games, but it was
they're,
definitely
they're about as frustrating as this level was.
Well, also now I'm like, okay, maybe I should go back and play some of these other games that I had never heard about.
They got you.
Yeah, they really did. Because I love like God of War and Horizon. Those are some of my top favorite games of like all time. So I'm like, well, if those are good and they're in this, maybe some of these other games are just as good and I'm missing out.
Yeah.
Like, I know, what is that game with the pyramid head guy?
Silent Hill.
Silent Hill. Yeah, I need to play Silent Hill.
Yeah, I heard there was a new remake of that or pretty recent.
Two just came out. Yeah, the remake of Two just came out.
Yeah, so nice. It might be a good time to go back and play that.
Yeah, for sure.
I want to say how much I enjoyed the music in this game. Like, I was jamming out. I loved it, like, when they really integrated a song into a stage. Like, you'd see, like, the little background NPCs, like, with their rhythm and stuff like that. Like, the mushrooms would be kind of, like, dancing a little bit. And, yeah, I love the music in this game.
And even the remixes of the songs from like God of War or like Horizon, like you could hear the tunes, but it had a little Astrobot twist.
You could tell like, okay, yeah, this song is kind of a parody, but you know, it's done in such a good way,
right?
Such a fun way.
Something else that's really cool about this game is that it's good for the whole family. I feel like you could play this with your nieces and nephews, you could play this with your grandma. Like, skill set wise, the bar starts like pretty easy. But then also there's all these other options. If you are into hardcore platforming and you want something challenging, there's something there for you too.
Yeah, but there's a real nice blend of challenge and accessibility depending on, and it's all optional. Like the hard stuff, you don't have to do it to beat the game.
Yeah,
you only need X amount of bots to get to the boss level, and it doesn't include the super hard unlockable levels.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because if I had to complete all those, what are they called? The shape levels? Yeah, I would not beat this game. There's no way. There's no way.
Yeah, those shape levels definitely were challenging. So basically, those were like, they were kind of like gauntlets. They didn't have any checkpoints, so you had to get it all in one run.
Yeah, you pretty much can't make any mistakes.
But I really enjoyed those levels. I liked them.
Me too.
Them a
I was
lot.
Like, please give me more of these.
Yeah.
I would rather they release more of those than speedruns.
Yeah.
For the bonus content. Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
I can see how they can be fun if you're good at platforming, but if you're not good at platforming like me and it takes you probably 50 plus tries to get through these, it just becomes not fun at that point.
Totally
you're like,
fair.
Man, I suck. But like you, I mean, I saw you play some of them. It only maybe took you 2 or 3 tries. So that's like your experience is a lot different from mine.
There was some challenge in the main levels.
There were some of those levels that definitely took me like 20 tries or 30 tries to get.
Yeah, but at least you have checkpoints on some of the other ones. Like just having to start all the way over, man, you feel so like defeated.
When you get this close or you miss the last jump
yes.
to the end.
It's like, no.
But you're not starting all the way over. You have your experiences that you've learned from. So
I know.
You say that it still took me 50 to 100 tries on some of these levels.
It did you too?
On some
of
the harder ones.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Maybe I'm not so bad, but still.
But for me, because I knew a lot of the historical characters, I would be motivated by what the little guy was.
Oh,
I was
like,
I can't just leave this level. I have to beat him. I have to get the little like Dark Cloud 2 guy or the little like Guilty Gear guy.
And you know, it does feel very satisfying once you get it after you try that hard, but then it's like, do I want to waste an hour of my life being really angry just to feel happy for like 5 seconds at the end?
Yeah. That was one of the points that I had as both a pro and a con is like the one-shot kill thing. Like sometimes it's great because it loads fast and you can just like jump back into the level. But at other times, I'm just like, really? Like that one cheap shot killed me and now I gotta go back.
I know. It's like I survived all this other stuff and then this is what kills me.
If I fall, that's one thing. But if a little guy shoots something at me and I get hit, like I shouldn't have to start all over.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
I will say, though, I did like some of the other bonus levels that you got, like the retro battle things. I thought those were super fun where you go through and you're like fighting all these like
Pixel guys,
and when you hit them, all their pixels scatter and stuff. So yeah.
Speaking of good graphics,
super fun. Yeah,
it's incredible.
And even though they were really hard, I did like the crumble levels where you have to like use your jets to like carve out a circle around an enemy to get them to fall. Those were really hard, but I did kind of like them.
So. It was a cool idea.
Yeah, those are definitely fun. I think there's the hard one I was thinking of was the one with the bells, where it was like, that took me so many tries.
The three bells.
Yeah. And they would all be like on different rhythms. So, yeah.
I did discover a strategy for that one. So I can do that
one. I'm getting flashbacks now of having to try that one over and over.
So is that all the pros?
Yeah, we kind of started talking about the cons, so we can just go into the cons.
I didn't really have that many cons for this game. I mean, that's not surprising. It's a great game.
Yeah, same.
It's so well done. I mean, my cons are so minimal. Like, certain powers are a little finicky, like the duck. Like, the way you have to, like, shoot it in the right direction. That special level with the duck was my least favorite thing.
Yeah, the duck that sprays water. And then, like, depending on where the water lands, like, that's... a spot you can step on.
Right.
Yeah.
They could have tightened up some of the powers. And the complaint that I've heard out and about, which I don't necessarily agree with, but I still think it's kind of a con for the PlayStation ecosystem as a whole, is you can't play a lot of the games where these little guys are from. Like, it's such a historical, like history thing. Mm-hmm. But to play half of these games, you need, like, emulators or original hardware.
Oh, because they're not available digitally.
Exactly.
So you have to have it's like,
I remember that game. I'd love to play that. Let me go find it. Oh, wait, no. I have to pay $100 at a retro game store to get this one little thing.
Oh, man.
Some of them are expensive, for sure. Yeah, all my cons are really just nitpicky and mostly just personal preference for me. I felt some of the music was a little repetitive. It was good, but, like, I kept hearing the same kind of songs over and over. And then the shape levels, those are not for me. But I appreciate they're there, but, man, they're way too hard for my skill set.
I knew that going into this. I'm like, I wonder how many levels you'll actually complete from there.
Man, I did try really hard. I tried some of these more than, like, 25, 50 times, and I still didn't get it through. So I'm like, you know what? It's just...
It's the thought that counts.
Yeah.
Yeah, my two cons were just the story was not very well thought out. I guess it didn't really need a great story, but...
But does a Mario game have a story, really?
Yeah, I mean...
Right, yeah.
Yeah, the story doesn't really need to be... I feel like it could have been a little bit better, but I don't know. And then, like, there almost felt like there were too many references to Sony. It almost felt like...
Wait, too many references to what?
The Sony.
Oh, yeah.
It almost felt a little... a little bit like a commercial.
Kind of like you're watching the new Space Jam movie. Did you see the new Space Jam?
It was like Warner Brothers
was like, let's put all of our IP. Remember we did this.
Yeah. It's very much like IP bot, but I loved that. As someone who's had PlayStations for like 25 years, like I was like, it's that guy and that guy.
I know. I actually didn't mind it. I did feel like that a little bit, but I was like, you know what? I don't care.
Did you recognize a lot of the people?
Yeah, I did. I know some of the PlayStation characters, a lot of the newer ones, obviously. Yeah. And then some of them, even though I didn't know what they were called, I was like, yeah, I've definitely seen that guy before. I've seen that character.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't mind the character references. I think it was like the Play Squadron and stuff like that, where it's like, why do their ships have to be like console shaped? Like, couldn't they just be like regular ships?
I think that was a callback to Playroom, where you're collecting the hardware and they're interacting with that. Yeah. So
I get it now. But
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
When I was initially playing through it, I'm like, okay, yeah, you don't need you need to make everything a Sony-shaped ship or whatever.
Oh, fun fact. I just remembered this. You can get the little Katamari guy, which I love.
That was in my pros.
Oh, nice. And if you get your little bot self stuck to his ball, you get a trophy.
Yeah. You can interact with all the little characters in your crash site, and they do little like Easter eggy things, like Psycho Mantis from Metal Gear will play with his controller, the Katamari will roll with you. The fighting games guy will like beat you up.
Yeah, Kratos will throw his axe at you and then you turn into like a little ice cube for a second.
Yes.
Yeah, so cute.
All those little things are so fun.
Yeah.
But yeah, very few cons in this game. It's almost a 10.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then another fun fact I had that I thought was kind of, well, fun, is for the 400th issue of Edge magazine. Have you heard of this magazine?
Mm-hmm. No.
Look it up, because for the 400th issue, they did a special kind of run where they had 10 front covers for this magazine, and they're all different VIP bots from this game.
That's fun.
Yeah. So each cover is like a different VIP bot, and it looks really cool.
It's
cool.
UK magazine, though, so you have to import it, which is the shame.
Yeah, but you can just Google the covers and look at them if you want. They look
cool. I actually want these.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They would probably look really cool framed up and stuff, but yeah.
That is cool.
Did you guys hug the cow?
I did.
Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that was cool.
On accident, I just had to jump on it, and then it just automatically hugged it. I was like, oh, yeah. Okay.
There were two different animations you could get, right? Like,
I think if you like beat him up, he gets mad at you.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
But yeah, I remember one was like you could cuddle with it and lay down and stuff. And
uh-huh. Chill.
It's really sweet.
That's cute. All right, so do you guys think there's a lot of strategy for this game?
I really didn't have much here. I mean, it's very straightforward.
Yeah, each booster has its own strategies. And if we wanted to, we could go through each power-up and probably be like, oh, for this one, you can do this. But it's not that hard.
It's pretty straightforward. I was the strategy probably comes in trying to cut corners and like do speed runs and how you can go through that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like if you're inclined to that kind of stuff, that there's a lot of strategy in how you can like triple jump or make extra jumps or get through here or cut off different parts. But in terms of actually playing the game, you're just going through and jumping through things.
Yeah, if you're trying to do the speed runs and stuff, there's probably a lot of strategy you can do there. But
I'd say like just don't worry about trying to kill every enemy on screen. Like you can definitely just walk past some and be fine.
For sure.
You'll have enough coins at the end of the game to do all the gachas without having to beat any enemies up.
Yeah.
Mario, this is not.
And just, like, kind of explore, but I feel like that's almost every video game, is just explore around, because some of the bots and some of the puzzle pieces and stuff are kind of hidden off, like, a path that you wouldn't necessarily go on, or, like, maybe there's a secret door or something like that you can find.
Or you can cheat and just get the bird.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That was my next strategy, is use the bird. Use that bird of shame. If you're stuck, just use the bird. It'll tell you where everything is. It's only 200 coins, and boom.
It's a bargain.
Yeah.
It really is.
I mean, 200. You get 200 coins in like 5 seconds in this game, so.
Did you guys unlock all the other different outfits, too?
Yeah, most of them.
Yeah.
I always tried to change my outfit, and then I would go to the controller and change the color to match my outfit.
Nice.
Yes. Nice. Very coordinated.
Do you have a favorite costume?
I don't know what she's called, but she has the blonde hair and the black outfit.
Yeah,
I'm not sure what character that is.
That's from Gravity Rush.
Yeah, Gravity Rush. I liked that little outfit.
I like my Parappa the Rapper outfit.
I was always either Parappa or the boy from Eco, or the Sly Cooper one was super cute too.
Yeah.
He gets a little tail.
Nice. Yeah, I would just switch out my outfits all the time. I didn't just stay as one. I was like, ooh, let's go. And I think it's funny that to interact with stuff in this game, you punch it.
So if you want to do this,
if you want to interact with your little bot buddies, you just walk up and punch them, and then they do their animation. It's like, man, you're so violent.
Or rescuing a bot, you punch it.
Don't worry, Betty, I'm here to save you.
Yeah. Oh, one more thing. Sorry, I keep remembering the stuff I forgot to write down. But when you're at the crash site, I thought that the little parts where you have to gather all your bot buddies together to do something was really fun.
I loved those.
Like, those are super cute. I was always like, oh, what do I need 200 for? What is going to happen now? You know?
So for the uninitiated, there's little, like, side levels at the crash site. At a certain point, you can go rescue more bots there, and you can, like, make a little bridge with your guys, or they'll help you jump on something, or they'll create a structure that you can walk through.
Yeah.
It was always really cool to see how creative they got with how you used your bot. Your bot buddies.
Bot buddies. Your crew.
And those are randomly generated because I've done those a couple different times and it's not always the same configuration of guys.
Cool.
All right. Is that it for strategy?
I think that's all.
You want to talk about the future?
Yeah, let's talk about the future.
They're introducing 5 new levels. They're being added once per week from February 13th to March 13th. I'm not sure why they're spacing them out like that, but it is cool that they're adding new levels to the game still.
Yeah, maybe there's something like they want you to come back a certain amount of times or something. Cause
it's very much like releasing a TV show weekly. So they had the initial game, then they had a first batch of 5 weekly speedrun levels. Then they shadow dropped that Christmas level. Then now there's a second batch of 5 DLC. So I'm wondering, are they actually going to make a second game, or are they just going to keep adding content to this one?
Hey, I'm all for them just like adding more content over the course of the game's life. I love it when companies do that, where they support their game. It's like, hey, we made a good amount of money. We can just give some stuff away for free.
Yeah, it's always a good surprise when you're like...
Yeah, and I feel like it, honestly, it probably helps them with their sales because it keeps their game more relevant. Yeah, as long as people are streaming it and playing it, like they're seeing the game, some people for the first time, they might go out and purchase it. So I feel like it really does help them. It helps everybody. It's good for everybody.
Yeah, it gives it longevity.
Yeah.
Especially with Astrobot kind of coming into its own as the mascot for PlayStation in this PS5 era.
Yeah, and he's a great mascot. Yeah, I hope they keep him up as kind of like their mascot.
Like, selfishly, I would love a sequel to this game, but I would also love to see what this team does, like, with that character and doing something else.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I would, like, play a whole God of War game that's Astrobot. Like the Lego games, the Lego Batman or whatever games. Like, I would do, if they did an Astrobot this game, I would, like, play it.
Hey, they made that Lego Horizon game, so maybe Sony will do something.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. Maybe I should try that one. I haven't really played any of the Lego games yet. Just watched the movies. But
they tend to be like really great multiplayer games where like you and a buddy can kind of go through and play it together.
Oh, cool.
That's what I've heard. I've never played either of them either.
Well, I'll let you know how they are if I play one. Cool. Did you find anything else for the future? Astrobot movie, Astrobot.
I would not be surprised in 5 years if they just farm the IP out.
I mean, they have the PlayStation Network, right? Where they create their own content. We've had some friends work on some of their shows, so I know they do make their own content.
Sony is a multimedia company.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's very true.
I kind of forget sometimes that PlayStation is Sony. And then it's like, oh yeah, Sony, one of the biggest brands in the entire world.
Like, I know they're doing, I don't know if it's a Ghost of Tsushima or a Horizon. They're doing some type of movie coming out in the next couple of years with some of their first party games.
Hmm. Okay, cool. That could be good.
Well, thanks for picking this game. No problem. I really enjoyed it.
I'm glad you guys got to finally enjoy it.
Yeah, it's so good.
And you have something to look forward to with Playroom.
Yeah, I know. And I didn't even know it came with a PlayStation, so that's cool that I don't even have to buy it.
Yeah.
You didn't delete it, did you?
I mean, even if we did, I think we could probably re-download it. Yeah.
So you're probably wondering if we beat the challenge. Well, you probably already know I didn't because I think I already revealed that I did it. Yeah. But Eric, did you?
I actually did, yeah. I beat all the shape levels except for that last gauntlet.
Yeah, but you will beat it.
Yeah, I'll go back and keep
working on it. I have faith in you. I believe in you.
Thank you.
We were really close, and then it was like, oh, we got to call the Uber. Yeah. So it was like, you were almost there.
This game was one of my few platinum trophies.
Nice.
I beat that final level.
Oh, that's great, man. Mm-hmm.
I have a fun fact that's about that, actually. So when you reconstruct the ship at the crash site intermittently throughout the game, you can check on each of the pieces you rescued and restored. But what you might not have noticed is after you finish the whole game, you can check on all the pieces finally reunited, and they will serenade you with music matching the theme of the crash site.
Ooh, that's cool.
Once you beat that, you can go hear them serenade you.
Nice.
You just have to stand in front of the four little squares, and then it'll just like psh, 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 give you the music.
Nice.
Awesome.
Let me know when you do that, because I want to see it.
Okay, yeah, definitely.
Cool. All
right, so I guess you're definitely going to have to wrap. I'm going to go ahead and wrap anyway.
Yeah.
Mark.
I'll do it.
Yeah. You'll do it.
It's also mandatory. So
yeah, it's mandatory. Which I apologize. You didn't know that it was mandatory when I asked you. I thought you knew. And then you were like, oh, crap, I have to write a rap. But
I did it. Yeah. It's going to be good.
Yeah, let's hear it.
I'll give you straight facts. I'm Space Bully Nebulax. I'm super innocent, relax. I'm not putting on the axe. I got sex on my racks, and I see a few knacks. So I'm polishing with wax. I would never think to jack your ride. Now you're on your side. Oops, I might have lied, but Space Nebulax abides. So I'll guide you planet side. Oh no, your ship has died. While you're calling nationwide, all the pieces will reside in different galaxies aside. I see you got denied, your coverage misapplied. I guess my hands are tied, so I'm going to go and hide.
Landing at the crash site, everything is feeling right. Don't care if it's day or not, I'm giving it all my might. Finding all the sprites, fixing all the lights. These bots are flying kites. traveling to new heights, freeing all the sights, wearing different tights, dealing with the plights, Astros winning all the fights.
Rolling through the galaxy, chilling with my friend, attacked by a green alien, oh no, is this the end? Look, there's a crash site, my ship's pieces are in sight, and my bots are scattered, gotta save them all tonight. Flying through the nebula, climbing with my gyro, oh look, there's a bot friend, isn't that Spyro? Everyone is dressed up, it's history cosplaying, different characters from the station we're playing. I'm a ball, I'm a mouse, I'm a sponge, I can fly, got a doggy on my back, blasting through the sky. And every so often we'll play like another game, with an Astrobot twist so it isn't quite the same. Catching monkeys, warring gods, hunting treasure, loco blobs, a futuristic twist on Sony history, with a gacha game that adds a little bit of mystery. It may be the best platformer of the year, watch it Mario, Astrobot's here.
I thought you did a pretty good job, Mark.
Yeah, good job, Mark.
Thank you.
We all did a good job.
It was fun. It was a fun game.
Yeah, it's such a fun game. I enjoyed writing the rap. Yay, so I told you, I would love writing it. It was the performing that I was iffy about, but I practiced enough.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if you've never done it before, yeah, it's always like crazy at the beginning.
Right, right. No, it's fun.
So we actually don't have our next game picked out yet. This is the season finale, by the way. And I think we want to have another guest on for our season premiere of the next season. But we have not lined up that guest yet, so we'll just make an announcement later to let everyone know what game we're going to be doing for the next episode and what the challenge is and stuff. So.
Yeah, sounds good.
Cool. All right, till next time. Bye, everybody.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. Us. Awesome.
All right. Bye.
Bye.